Pastor Josh, and welcome to the Southington Christian Church Podcast. What you are listening to is episode 2 of the Sunday Sit Down. In the first part of this podcast, what you are going to hear is a sermon preached by Pastor Dan this past Sunday titled Into the Deep. On the second portion of this podcast, you are going to hear a sit down between myself and Pastor Dan as we discuss aspects of his sermon. A couple housekeeping items is August 4th, we have Shakespeare in the Park from 5 to 8 o'clock. And at Shakespeare in the Park, it's really a whole day of things. At first, you're going to be able to play in a cornhole tournament, so sign up for that along with your team name. And then there's also going to be food for people, hot dogs, ice cream. It's going to be a fun cookout for the whole community. And to end the night, we will have a performance by the 330 Youth of Hamlet. It is a comedy. It's pretty short. It's going to make you laugh, though. But moving on, here's Pastor Dan to talk to you about Tithely.
Thanks, Josh. We really hope that you all have been enjoying these podcasts that we've been putting out for you. And if you'd like to offer continued support for this program and the church, we have a great opportunity for you to do that. It's called Tithely. It's a way to electronically give either in one-time or recurring payments, and you can check it out online or on their app at tithe.ly.
And now presenting to you Pastor Dan's sermon, Into the Deep.
Welcome to our second week on the story of Jonah. So just as a recap, last week, Jonah was called by God to go to Nineveh, an evil city. And Jonah packed up, and he went in the exact opposite direction. He was not even going to consider listening to God, because the Ninevites were everything that was bad in the world. He was afraid for his life, and to be honest, he just didn't think they deserved God's mercy. They deserve judgment, nothing else. No fair warning, just hellfire from above. And so he ran. He got on a boat and headed for Tarshish. However, on the way there, God threw a nasty storm down upon the waters. And the boat was on the verge of breaking in two. It was so bad. So the sailors, they tried their best to row to safety, but it was not working. They ended up devising a plan to figure out who was responsible for such a storm, and they came up with Jonah. He confessed, and he came up with the solution to have them throw him overboard so that the ship would not break apart. And so they threw him in the sea, and the waters calmed down. And just at the very end, a fish came out of nowhere and swallowed Jonah whole. And so, with chapter 1 in our mind, let's turn now to chapter 2 for today's portion of the story. And Jonah 2 reads, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, 'I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. The weeds were wrapped around my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me up for my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord.' And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land." Jonah really messed up this time. Like anyone else, he'd sinned in the past. He was far from perfect, but now he was really in trouble. He had run away from God's call, and now he'd been swallowed up by a huge fish. This was, you could say, rock bottom. It seems like things couldn't get any worse. It was all his fault. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been there with Jonah. No, I don't mean I've literally been in the belly of a great fish, but I've been down before. I've been thrown into the deep before. Life has a way of burying us sometimes, doesn't it? Things feel too heavy, like the weight of all that water as Jonah sunk further and further. In Jonah's case, it was strictly his fault. But for us, it isn't always, is it? Sometimes it's just the circumstances of life. Maybe it's something going on at work with a coworker or your boss, and you just feel like you can't breathe. Or maybe it's something at home. You and your partner aren't getting along. The kids are driving you crazy. You don't feel like you have time to cook, much less clean up around the house. You want your home to be a sanctuary, but it feels more and more like a circus. Maybe it's something going on within yourself. You're dissatisfied where you are in life. You don't find enjoyment in the things you used to. You just feel exhausted. There's no connection even with God anymore, as you throw prayers up to heaven, only feeling like they dissolve into nothingness, as if the ears in heaven have somehow turned away from you. What is the point of even trying to pray anymore if God doesn't even seem to be listening? All of these feelings and more are like being thrown into the deep. It feels like sinking, drowning. It feels cold and dark. It feels like you're alone. So whether it is or isn't your fault, it's still the deep. And at one point or another, I suspect we've all felt this way. What we need in those moments isn't some self-help pop psychology. It isn't a pick yourself up by the bootstraps pep talk. It isn't a distraction that makes us forget about the deep that we have to go back to. What we need is salvation. I'm not talking about going to heaven, punching your ticket to the pearly gates. I'm talking about here and now. Real life saving. What we need is a great big fish. You see, I imagine that as Jonah is sinking in the water, he's probably feeling like this is it. He's paying for his sin against God. As he says in his prayer, he feels like he is in the belly of Sheol. Now, Sheol is sometimes mistranslated as hell. It's not hell. It's the land of the dead in the Hebrew imagination. It is the place where all the dead people go when they die. And it could be separated into different compartments based on if you were righteous or wicked. So for Jonah, he feels as if he's dying. The waters were closing around him to take his life. The deep surrounded him, and the bars of Sheol were closing around him. He was afraid. He was afraid that he was being driven away from God's sight, with only a hope and a prayer that he would see God's holy temple again. Things were looking grim. And so he could only do one thing: cry out to the Lord and hope that God is as generous and as merciful as Jonah believed. And you know what? God was. God, the Lord of second chances, reached down and plucked Jonah from the clutches of death, the clutches of Sheol, the land of the dead. God is a God of salvation, after all. And so God chose the unlikeliest of vessels for his saving grace. God appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. You see, the fish is not strictly a tool of punishment in this story. The fish is a tool of salvation and grace. God heard Jonah and responded with love and mercy, sending a fish to save Jonah from the deep. Now, we need to talk about this salvation, though. I mean, when we get into our minds a word like salvation, it's often pretty. It's something like the pearly gates. It makes us feel warm and fuzzy, maybe. But for Jonah, salvation is ugly. It's smelly. It's unpleasant. But it's life. It's better than the alternative. You see, being swallowed by a fish in general can't be considered great. Nasty, smelly, maybe tightly squeezed. No one's idea of a good time. But again, for Jonah, it is the thing that kept him from death. And I think that tells us something about salvation. It's often messy. So looking back at times where I've experienced salvation from situations, I can agree that they are often messy. I was struggling with my call to ministry in the second year of my undergrad. I was living in Indiana. I was taking some ministry classes, but I felt like I was in the deep. I felt rudderless, utterly lost in what I should do, where I should go. And so I dropped out. I quit school. No plan. I just quit and went back home. For me, the belly of the fish was probably dropping out. Dropping out of school is often messy. Many people who drop out never go back. If you do go back to school, you have to worry about transferring credits to another school, hoping you will get credit for work you've already done. You have to worry about financial aid. It's a starting over in many ways. And then there's the uncertainty of what you will do. Do you change majors and study something new, or keep trying at what wasn't working before? It is messy. But it was in the dropping out that God was able to get my attention fully. I couldn't run anymore. I couldn't distract myself anymore. I had to sit there and listen. And so I did. I discovered that I was supposed to stay around home for the time being. So I started working here at SCC as a part-time youth pastor, as many of you may remember. I enrolled at Malone University in Canton and worked on a degree in Bible and theology that would give me the knowledge to continue on with my education if I was supposed to be a head pastor. And you know what? That's where I was supposed to be. Eventually, I felt called to continue on my education and get my master's degree all the way down in North Carolina. And it was there that I worked at a church where it became abundantly clear that I was supposed to be a head pastor. That same summer, I met Stella, and now 4 years later, here I am, back at SCC as the head pastor, married to Stella. And it's all because of God's salvation. God sent me a great big fish when I needed it, as I was drowning, sinking into the deep. Now, it's been messy. It's still messy, oftentimes. But it's where Stella and I are supposed to be. And that's because God has showered me with grace all along the way. Every time I try to run off to Tarshish, I get more fish sent my way. And that's where we need to turn back to Jonah. He's in the belly of the fish, and God commands the fish to vomit Jonah back up onto dry land. His salvation is messy and gross the whole way. He's vomited up and set back on his course. You see, salvation comes with a cost. Now, it's free on the one hand. God sends the fish out of love and grace. Jonah doesn't have to say a magic word to get the fish to come. God just sends it because he wants to rescue Jonah. In that way, it doesn't cost Jonah anything. But once Jonah is saved, it's back to work for him. He's expected to respond to God with obedience now, not disobedience. When God saves us, we are saved and sent out for God's will. God isn't done with us. God doesn't just leave us to our own devices, set us up with our old life as if nothing happened. No, God saves us, picks us up, dusts us off, squares our shoulders, and sends us off on a new course. God's not done with Jonah, just like God wasn't done with me, and God isn't done with you. And so, for you, whatever your ocean is, whatever deep waters you are in, whatever is making you feel overwhelmed, like you can't breathe, like the world is stacked on top of you, fear not. God wants to bring you salvation. Now, God's salvation doesn't always work out the way we think. It might not be pretty. It might be messy. You might not make it out the way you think you will. There might not be the happy ending you have in your head. But God still wants to bring you salvation. It just might be a great, big, smelly fish. And that is where we finally turn to Jesus, in the salvation that he brings. Yes, there's an element of heaven and a future glory. But when Jesus comes, he declares that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. It's now. Jesus came that we may have life and have it abundantly, not in a world away, but in this world. He came that we would experience the everyday salvation, that our relationships would not be destructive, that our work would not exploit the weak in our community, that our desires would not be carried out at the expense of others, that our aims and aspirations would not destroy the earth that was given to us. We all need that type of salvation. The salvation that allows us to say, "It is well with my soul," as the classic hymn says. The salvation that in the mess of the world looks around and says, "I see the kingdom of God." It's that type of salvation that allows us to rise and go to Nineveh, to do the hard things that God calls us to do, to endure the pain and suffering in the world, because we know that we are not alone, that our pain will be comforted, that our brokenness will be healed, that our anger and fear will be turned into peace, love, and joy. This salvation sends the Spirit of God with us, so that just as we were saved from the deep, we may be used to save others from the deep as well. All because of God's surpassing grace and the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. That is good news.
Welcome, everybody, to the discussion portion of this Sunday sit-down. We are on episode not one, but two, Pastor Dan.
That's right, we made it.
It's weird to call you Pastor Dan.
That
have you referred
weird.
To me as Pastor Josh?
I don't know. I think from the pulpit.
Yeah,
like, oh, yeah, Pastor Josh is doing this event or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's so.
But it's always weird.
It is. It is odd. So if you are new to this, welcome. But last week we saw, you know, there was over 30 of you who downloaded this podcast and listened to it, and we're really thankful for that. And it's encouraging us to continue with this because we know that some of you maybe enjoy like listening back to the sermon, or maybe you weren't here and now you get to listen to it. So as we move on here, we don't really have questions today.
Yeah,
we're gonna normally have questions,
yeah.
But the sermon this week dealt with Jonah basically just saying a prayer the entire time.
Yeah.
And being in the belly of the great fish, the whale,
right.
Whatever you want to say. It doesn't matter. Actually, because we're doing this in junior church too.
Oh, remember? Nice. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm on that same chapter.
Yes.
So we had to spend
Perfect.
10 full minutes arguing if it was a fish or a whale, basically. So I had to kind of explain to them it doesn't matter.
No, that's it doesn't the, really matter. The, no.
But when you're a child, it absolutely
yeah,
matters.
That's right.
Well, what
it's
kind
important.
Of fish could be that big? Well, no, it's a whale. We're using different
yes, exactly.
language and categorizing
exactly.
them.
Exactly. That's great.
But so we basically just have two talking points this week. I'm going to ask Dan about these kind of two talking points, let him expand upon some of his thoughts that he had within the sermon.
Yeah.
And that is it. So it's going to be fairly quick.
It should be.
This
yeah.
second half here. But we appreciate you guys for listening. And, you know, let's get right into it here.
Great.
So in your sermon, you talk about salvation.
Yeah.
You talk about the fish being a form of salvation.
That's right.
For Jonah. And one of the things you mentioned is the cost of salvation. Do you want to maybe expand upon that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I think this is a really crucial understanding for Christianity and kind of how we think about salvation and how we, you know, see ourselves in relation to God as well. So when we're talking about the cost of salvation, there's a couple angles we can go, right? So in the sermon itself, you kind of heard me talk about how on the one hand, it's free, right? That, you know, Jonah doesn't have to do all the right things to get God to save him, right? He's not saved because he's a good guy, right? So this is the grace portion, the free gift portion of salvation, where God just sends the fish, sends the salvation to Jonah because God wants to, because God is a saving God, a God that wants to preserve life and not destroy things. In that regard, it's free, right? It doesn't cost Jonah really anything. He just kind of has to exist and get swallowed by a fish. So it's free in that regard. But then the other side of the coin then is kind of the costly portion for Jonah, that once he's saved, he kind of has to go to Nineveh, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that he was avoiding in chapter one that kind of led to him getting swallowed by a whale or a fish, whatever one you want to say. So now that he's been saved, God saves him in order that he would go on and do the thing that he was supposed to do in the first place, right? So in that way, it's costly. Like Jonah just can't pack up and go back to, you know, the port in Joppa and get another boat ride out to Tarshish again. He can't just recycle. I mean, he could.
Right.
But, you know, he'd likely find himself in another similar situation where he needs saving. So this idea of cost of salvation is that it requires his obedience, right? It requires that Jonah actually goes forth to Nineveh now. It requires that he does the task that God set him up for. So in that way, it's very costly. It kind of costs him everything in a way.
Yeah, for sure. So I think we have one more talking point here, and maybe I'll kind of chime in here at this one. The earthly aspects of salvation.
Yeah, yeah. Another, I think, really important idea of salvation that sometimes we don't always focus enough on in the church. When we talk about salvation, we love to think about heaven. I think oftentimes in the church, you know, like people ask me this all the time, like, what do you think heaven's going to be like? And my response is always like, I don't know. I haven't been there yet. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Because, you know, we get some glimpses in Scripture, but it's not really a fully formed picture by any means. We get little glimpses here and there, and that's about it. The idea of heaven and future glory, I mean, it kind of like people get obsessed about it and really start thinking about it to the point where we actually get ourselves in trouble. We start focusing so much on heaven And this is even reflected in like some songs that we sing, like some hymns. Maybe we think about the song like I'll Fly Away, right? Which is a song, you know, kind of a classic gospel song, you know, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. This idea that we're escaping the earth forever, we're going to leave it behind because we're going to go to a better place type of an idea. And that can actually be rather destructive because for those of us who are, have not gone away and flown away, we might start thinking about our world as more of like a prison, right? Mm. Like, oh, man, I'm just stuck in this
temporary
prison.
Holding cell.
Yeah, exactly. It can kind of suck the joy out of life. It can kind of suck the hope of making this place a better place, making it a heaven on earth, so to speak. And it can make us treat the earth and other people, I think, poorly, right? Like, if this is just like a holding place, why do I need to care about the rainforest?
Why do I
need
to recycle?
Why do I need to recycle? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like, let's just burn it all.
And when you start down that slope, right, where does it end? Because you're correct. If you do not feel that the earth has any value because this is not heaven and it can't be heaven, then, what's the point? What's the point of any of it, really? Yeah. What's the point of treating... Like, at that point, aren't you just following aspects of Christianity so you can get your ticket to heaven, right? Like, you're only listening to Jesus's commands. You're only treating your neighbor as yourself because it gets you to the... It gets you into the next room, right?
Exactly.
It gets you into the VIP club.
Yes.
It gets you to go into that awesome place you've been wanting to go to.
It's like Santa,
right? Yeah.
It's like Santa, you know, if I'm a good boy or girl for, you know, at least 7 months out of the year, then hopefully Santa will give me the pony that I want at Christmas, right? It almost becomes a business transaction.
It actually does. It's funny we're talking about this because I just recently, this is a bit of a side tangent, but
I like it.
I just recently binge watched the first season of The Good Place. Do you know what The Good Place is?
Have you heard of it, but I've never seen it actually.
Okay, so it's a, you know, it's a comedy. It's on, I think maybe ABC. It's with Kristen Bell.
Yeah.
And it is kind of talking about, you know, when you die, you go to The Good Place.
Yeah.
Or, the bad place.
The bad place,
One of the ways to get into The Good Place, like, they show these various reasons that you can get in. And one of them just briefly pops up and it says, lifelong support the Cleveland Browns, which is very funny.
That's awesome.
Obviously,
though,
Northeast Ohioan wrote that and appreciate to them. But one of the things they deal with in that is this kind of an idea that you are going to a different spot, and that spot is just now a perfected version of whatever is heaven in your mind, right? But that, I don't really want to spoil the story.
Sure,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
But basically, it doesn't go, it's not what you think it is.
Yes.
And nice. I think that's probably the approach that all of us need to take when we talk about heaven, because you do get into a spot where it's like, why fight these social battles?
Exactly.
Why care about our planet?
Yeah.
And we already struggle. I think that's probably the number, and I'm a huge offender of this, but I think as a Christian community, that's probably one of the things we're terrible about.
So bad.
Is that we've been given this gift, this planet from God.
That's right.
And instead of loving it and cherishing it, we actually go the opposite route where it's like, well, we're going to leave here anyways, so we might as well burn all of it to the ground while I'm here.
And while we're at it, our neighbors too. Like, I'm in. I've punched my ticket. Who cares about them?
Right. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it gets us into a lot of trouble.
It definitely does. Do you have anything else to expand on this?
Yeah. So one final thing then would be... if we start to take seriously this idea that we're supposed to experience eternal life now, so to speak, we're supposed to experience quote unquote heaven now, it's really going to transform, I think, the way that we live, the way that we talk. It's actually just going to make us more like Jesus, right? Because when Jesus comes, he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's now. It's starting now. I'm kind of kicking it off. You guys are supposed to kind of keep the ball rolling.
So the kingdom of heaven is at hand. in a time in history where there was one country, not just particularly one country, but the country that he's mainly existing and being governed by, an empire.
Yeah.
Right? Think, like, the kingdom of heaven is now, Jesus is saying that at that time, think of it at that time.
Crazy.
It was, our planet was way different.
Yeah.
And the power structures of countries was dramatically different than now. So if Jesus feels the kingdom of heaven is at hand then it's definitely at hand now.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, it's exciting. It allows us to view each other and view the world in a completely different way. And I think it actually gives more weight to the rest of Scripture, right? Because how many times in Scripture do we read a story like Moses, right? That story would be pretty meaningless if there was no such thing as earthly salvation, or if earthly salvation didn't matter. Like,
right.
Well, who cares? You guys are in slavery. No big deal. Just suck it up, soldier, right? And just kind of just be the best slave you can be.
Right.
And, you know, countless other times in Scripture where we see earthly salvation actually matters, right? Mm. That we don't want to leave people in the deep, whatever the deep is, right? Whether it's slavery or, you know, other abusive or harmful situations. We as Christians, we as the church, actually have to actively work to bring about salvation for other people if we can.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that is still vitally important right now. You know, we have I think if people did any type of research into, you know, sex slavery that is still happening, even within our state.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That you would see that it is upon us as Christians. And that's just one example of a social issue of us to try to bring salvation to horrible situations that are happening all throughout the world. But that is also to say that we do that because we want this planet to be heaven.
That's right.
We have the opportunity. I tell my teens this all the time. You have the opportunity every day to decide if your actions are going to bring heaven or bring hell.
That's right. That's
to the earth and to the people around you.
Yes.
And I think when you start to view, the problem is with that though, Dan, when you take people's concept of heaven and it's not, it's not this large, glorious, I don't even want to say planet, I don't know, place so that we can't even imagine.
Yeah.
They start to get irritated with that.
They do, yeah.
Because they want it to be perfect because they have pain, they have strife, they have anger,
that's right.
They have even honestly like a lack of knowledge when you're on the earth. You know, we're all ignorant to so many things.
We are.
And when you take that from people, they're going to react very harshly. But I think for me, I hope that people truly engage in Scripture and see that Jesus is talking about it being here and being now and not being off in some far distant place. Because also in that kind of concept of it being in some far distant place, there are going to be people there who to you would actually bring hell and not heaven.
It's true.
Right? Like, you don't get to ultimately decide.
You don't get to decide
who's in this club or not. You know, that's not on you.
Yeah.
So there's going to be people who you know, in that reality, there are going to be people who you would disagree with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big time. Anything else to say here to wrap this up?
No, I don't think so. Just that, we can hopefully start to see salvation as more than just the pearly gates. The
active. Light.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
like
active.
It's, you get to actually experience the kingdom now, which is really cool. And for, I don't know, I would say most people in the world, that's good news. Like, we want to be able to experience some of the joys talked about in Scripture now.
Right.
You know, because we do hurt, right?
Yeah.
We are in pain. Our communities aren't perfect.
Right.
And we want to begin to work towards a world in which maybe they're not perfect, but they're better.
Right.
Yeah.
And that doesn't start, you know, when Jesus comes back.
That's right.
That starts on you today.
It started a long time ago.
It started with a fish swallowing Jonah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to the podcast this week. We hope that you like, share, comment, subscribe on iTunes, and pretty soon we'll have this podcast up on, actually I think it might be on, no, it's not on Stitcher yet. We'll put it on Stitcher and other podcast apps that you guys can download it on. And yet again, as Pastor Dan mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, if you would like to, you know, support the podcast, or not just podcast, because it's not going towards the podcast specifically.
Yeah, it's just
going to the church yeah, and the different ministries that we do here at the church, that you can get on Tithely and do that. That would be greatly appreciated. And we hope that you guys continue to have a fantastic summer, and we will see you next week.